Good morning. Today is Wednesday, April the 18th, 139th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Bone.
Good morning.
I still enjoy your hairstyle.
Yeah. No, I was glad I did it. It was for a great event. The gal, Venice D'Amico, is doing really well. She's coming up to the ends of her, going into the hard part of her treatments, but it was a great fundraiser and it was a good event. And Ryan got to do it a couple weeks later for another young child out of McKinleyville, so he wasn't exactly pleased at what I started, but we were pleased with the financial results at both the families. We could help them out.
Yeah, the only request I get is to put the bag on.
Yeah, I still get that.
The hair off, yeah.
I still get that.
Our quote this morning comes from 1683. Algernon Sidney, his speech when he was on the scaffold. God has left nations under the liberty of setting up such governments as best please themselves. That's got to be a little frightening, huh?
It's kind of,
might be a little heavy for you right now, but
I'm thinking it kind of just sums up the 2016 presidential election one fell swoop.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, and I suppose this may be where we can start. You've been around a long time. I've been around a long time. We've known the guys that have gone before us pretty well. Do you go back in the history, either in the records in the county or just in your memory, and remember, okay, what would a Sam Mitchell have done? What would an O.H. Bass have done? Or even, you know, I was thinking, or Jimmy, I mean, you're always doing Jimmy.
I think Mel Bareilles.
Okay.
I mean, you know, because, I mean, you know, both, you know, the Bareilles family is so strong here. And, I mean, you know, I think back to that. The nice thing about our records, which is really cool, every once in a while I'll go back into our little room where the coffee pot is and everything else, and that's where all the handwritten records are for about 40 years on the wall there. And they're all in the bound books. I think we go back to 1940-something or 30-something there. And every once in a while, I'll be sitting there, and I'll pull one down. I said, I wonder what we were doing, you know, 70 years ago. And I'll pull, and they're talking about doing roads. They're talking about, you know, and it's all longhand. It's all longhand.
And legible.
And legible. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I think one of the fears that a lot of us have that aren't in the elected positions is that a lot of time and effort is spent reinventing something that was already taken care of some time ago. But because of turnover, whether it's staff, senior staff turnover or lack of asking or folks new to the community that don't remember back when, that you don't remember back when. And we go back and spend a lot of effort doing things that a phone call could have taken care of to square up.
One, and we weren't as litigious back then. And so everything could say, you could tell your neighbor, I says, hey, you know, that's kind of an odd corner over there. You can have that on your property. And forever it went fine until it gets down to four ownerships later and says, hey, that little 40 by 40 is mine. Doesn't mean diddly to him, but he wants it because it's his. And since it's not recorded, you know, there used to be all those handshake deals and it used to be a lot easier to do stuff. And now we've become litigious and everything has to be, you know, signed, sealed, delivered six times over.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19. We'll be back.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, before we had to break away, you were talking a little bit about some, you know, the history.
Well, the history, one of the things that comes up right now, we're dealing with, you know, Fern Bridge, the little hamlet of Fern Bridge, the new highway. The runoff from the new highway comes down and heads to the Eel. But there's some flooding issues. There's some drain inlets. There's all this stuff.
Big puddling.
And we have problems. You know, one of them's caving in and stuff like that. Well, that's the old Fern Bridge is the old state highway, and you've got the upper highway, but I guess the county has a little bit to do with it. So we're in a little, we're always having these little negotiations, who fixed that, who fixed that? And the problem is we don't have those old engineers around to tell us anymore. A few weeks ago, went down to a bridge dedication down there at the county line for Lowell Allen, who was our bridge engineer back during the 64 flood and who has his fingerprint on probably every bridge on the highways. And, I mean, Jack Selvidge made a quote, I got into engineering because of Lowell Allen. I mean, he's been a mainstay through, you know, St. Bernard's and the community and his wife Esther. I mean, there was probably over 100 people there all the way down in Soham for the bridge dedication. But as I was driving down there, you drive by the Barnums and the Combs and
start looking at the names on the bridges.
At the names on the bridges of the people that actually created, you know, I do that, you know, going out to, you know, Petrolia, Branstad. You look at all the people that actually made this community and stuff like that. And I go back to that historical knowledge that Lowell, after he retired, worked for years as a consultant and an unpaid consultant, you know, telling everybody, well, this was the deal that was made when we did it 70 years ago so we can make it happen. Now it has to be, you know, signed, sealed, delivered 20 times over. So that, you know, takes projects longer. It takes, you know, but they get done. They get done. And I guess with that, they're more pronounced done. I mean, there isn't going to be any gray areas.
Yeah, there's square corners and solid lines. Know. But it's unfortunate the oral history is lost. And at the same time that the oral history can't take precedent over a discussion today. So you got that funny corner little da-da-da. Okay, four times back it was bum 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 bum. Let's lock that down now. That's what it should have been. That's what these guys bought based on. That's part of the deal. Period, end of story. And not spend all this time spinning wheels over and over and over on these small little goofy things.
No, and the biggest thing that can fix a lot of the problems we have is common sense. Does that really make any sense to do that? Does that make sense? You know, we've got a thing, if you make improvements to your residence or you build a new residence, we start building our infrastructure, basically sidewalks, curb, gutter, and things like that. But sometimes that's going to be the only house built in this whole area. Do we need a sidewalk, curb, gutter? Can we pave up to the property line and still have access and things like that? Or do we want a sidewalk that ends out in the middle? And that's where Public Works has so much, because it's in the books to improve that, to make the county better, to make, you know, access better for everybody. But sometimes it seems to be like more like a hindrance. And I know, you know, Tom Mattson at Public Works and Bob Bronco and stuff, they have to weigh those things all the time. And it what's written isn't always probably the best common sense, or what we feel is not common sense. When you look at the big picture, that's actually the way it should be.
Well, it's the same thing that is commented on an awful lot here in Humboldt County when an edict comes out of Sacramento. I'm thinking the drought. I'm thinking the Coastal Commission. Boom, across the board, it is applicable for everybody the same way. Instead of realizing, no, there are differences in different communities. Same thing as what you're saying there with the sidewalks. You know, if the entire county, instead of, no, this application, it seems a little goofy.
When the whole county of L.A. is going to, you know, is going to be built out, that makes understandable sense. I know people have fears that all of Humboldt County is going to be built out, but I guarantee you it will never, always, ever be out. I always tell everybody, I say it over and over, in 1960 we had 106,000 people, and in 2010 we've got 136.
Well, I don't know if I shared this one with you. I asked when Kirk Girard was still around. We were on the same basketball team, and I asked him, so Kirk, at what point does blight, because that was the big word back when Roy Robinson was here and Arcata had some of their challenges, and he said the entire city was blighted. I said, so what is blight? What is a point here where we get overbuilt, where the fears of a Santa Rosa kick in, even if it's just around Humboldt Bay? What's the county population? He said 225,000 people. We're 100,000 people away. I don't see that happening in the near future.
We lost people here the last 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to be like the Modocs and the Alpines and the little Dinkerdoos.
We're not going to be conceivable, Alpine. They only have 1,040, so.
Well, okay. Perhaps their views are different than ours, too, smart guy.
That tidal wave will have to be huge.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, but that snowstorm isn't going to get us.
Yeah, really.
Now you look at it and you go, where is the logic with this stuff? And I think some of those old guys, either they didn't have the encumbrances, like you were saying, with legal stuff, or they just kind of figured it out and wrote it down. And that's the stuff I know the county doesn't have anybody who can go through, but wouldn't that be cool if there was an intern or somebody from Humboldt or CR or I know they don't call them Vista anymore or senior volunteers or went through and just not looking for the content, looking for the ideas.
Yeah.
What ideas were dealt with in and just grab them and kind of do like a Sparks or, you know, an overview, a white paper.
Yeah. I mean, it's because they're...
You know they're in there.
Well, and it's ideas that back when we had, you know, 106,000 people, back when we had 106,000 people, the state had 14 million. State's knocking the door on 40 million and we have 136. We're not keeping our end of the bargain up here, you know, and neither are a lot of the rural counties. But we're still getting stamped with the same rules that a very urban county would when we're a rural county. And they don't quite understand that the rules don't actually apply to us in so many, you know, variations.
Or aren't logical if they are applied.
They're not logical to apply to us.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk shop presented by Redeck and by CDH Painting. Rex, one of the questions that I've got, and it kind of is spurred a little bit with some of the Last Chance Grade stuff that we're doing, but also with the meeting that the OES and the public safety folks are dealing this week back east, about the involvement at the state level. You know, I wonder if, let's say for example, before funding ever occurred, if somebody had to be here, or conversely, I'm thinking McGuire's office or Woods, mm-hmm. if one of their senior people were back there in this group talking about, okay, what happens after an 8.5 earthquake? What are the impacts and their lack of action? What it means as it ripples through our area? If we're isolated, not 6 months afterwards, oh, gee, that's a shame. I wish I would have known. But doing these tabletops, so they're in the middle of this thing, and then somebody says, and this is where we need the state people to blah, 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 blah. And everybody turns and looks at the state person, and do they get it?
Well, and it's going to be, you'll notice on any huge disaster, and our biggest problem is if we have a huge disaster here, it's probably going to go all the way down the coastline for a little bit farther if we have anything that big. But, you know, maybe not that far so it can be focused. The resources can be focused back on us.
Yeah, if it's a triple plate, it's going to be us and down to Sonoma County.
Sonoma and stuff like that. And you saw, I mean, just recently, the one in Sonoma actually didn't come up here. I mean, got them and did very little up here, just a little bit. So it's not like it's going to get everybody, you know, but the thing is all those resources out of LA and stuff, it'll be the one case where we can get some relief. I mean, you know, I was only 10 during the 64 flood, and I remember
what were your images?
Bits of it. Huh?
I've got two images. I was talking last Friday when Gillespie was in. We were talking. His dad was 16, and he has images back on the Maple Creek.
My biggest image is?
Yeah.
We couldn't get potato chips in. Because Bill Beckman
was the
Laura Scudder delivery, lived around the store, was a great friend of my dad's, but lived around for the store. But the problem is they were flying in most of our consumables. And since they took up so much volume and they weren't considered critical, they weren't getting on the airplanes. So they were bringing in, you know, what we had, milk. But I mean, the soda pop, you know, soda pop we had, things like that. We had most of the stuff, canned goods to a limited basis and everything else. But I remember the potato chip shelves went empty because and Bill, he couldn't get any of his product in. And the same thing with Merrill James that had the Granny Goose. They couldn't get that. That's what I remember. And the other thing I remember is Chubb Nunemaker. Nunemaker Trucking had bought a bunch of brand new trucks, and he couldn't use the trucks, and it tore him up quite a bit financially. And I just, because his son Dean was one of my best friends. So those are the things I remember as a 10-year-old watching this happen. The impacts it made to me real close. Now I find out later, he says, "Oh yeah, my dad almost went out of business or went out a bit." That 20, 30 days, you know, where the, you know, or 15 days.
Critical time.
And it just amazes me when you drive down by Myers Flat and you look at that high water mark and you're going, how the hell did we, you know, and they got 299. I think the 299 access was opened a little bit quicker than obviously some, but I mean, that was, but yeah, we lost bridges. Yeah. We lost bridges. That's where, when I was discussing about Lowell Allen and stuff like that. So it was, That's what I remember is how it impacted, because I worked at Dad's store every Saturday, you know, and sometimes at night. So,
well, I was three.
So yeah.
So all I remember is the fields around here being full.
Yeah. Yeah.
Water everywhere and a cover of a magazine with the house. Yeah.
Well, and I mean,
down.
One of my, you know, to this day, because they've done the articles on the anniversary and everything else, is I remember the pictures of Tony Leonardo and his family
right up on the roof.
And then talking about now that they did an article on it, talking to Ginger and to Tony and stuff like that about where the water was pushing against the wall and bowing the wall when he opened a cupboard and it was starting to push through and everything else, and thinking that they were going to die.
That was
Big,
it.
You know,
yeah.
Big Tony would tell his wife that he thought they were going to die, and I just, you know, the impactful things of that picture, and that, you know, that picture was iconic. I think it was on everywhere. Them sitting on their roof and then being, you know, and then he had all his kids, and that, you think about that when you come through, and to this day, I don't know as much, but every once in a while, some of the guys dig in their fields, they'll find a transformer and they find poles if they do a field.
Things.
Because it washed everything down. And all of a sudden, where did it? And you think about, how did the, 64.
See,
oh,
my,
yeah, 64.
There are a couple things I'd like to inject. One, and I didn't realize this until doing the research on the travel station format, is that 64 wasn't the biggest flood. 1865 was.
Yeah, yeah.
So there was a bigger one. Okay. Yeah. But in hindsight, now it's been 50-something years, I would bet you most of the people who are here now, if they're not local, like we were, native, whatever you want to call, don't think it could happen.
Yeah.
Well, we get a good earthquake. Those bridges at Confusion Hill are down. Last Chance Grade is down. Maybe 299 stays. Maybe it doesn't. Depends on what's associated with it. We're right back in the same boat as we were before. Yeah. But now we have the attitude that, oh, well, it can't happen. So we're not as self-reliant. Now you knock out a little bit of the cell phone tower network. Okay, game on. Here we are, right back in the same boat again.
And the other thing we've done now is back in those days, you got to remember back in those days, we had Market Wholesale. We had Select Cisco. We had a multitude of purveyors that warehoused here. They brought truckloads and then they delivered from there. Well, if you take a look at a grocery store today compared to a grocery store 40 years ago, 50 years ago, they've sucked in. They don't have a back room to speak of. They don't stock. They get instant gratification.
Their stock
they
is each
order,
night.
They order as they need, and the truck comes in every other day.
Yeah.
And so you see, so they don't warehouse like they used to. And so, I mean, Market Wholesale used to take up that whole building down where Schmittbauer's at. Select Union used to be where 7-Up was, and now I think next to UPS. But I can remember back in the 70s, early 70s and stuff, they would bring in a whole trainload of orange juice from Florida, and they would have their orange juice for all their stores, all their restaurants, and everything else for the year put aside. I mean, that's where orange futures came in. You know, that's because people bought everything for the year. We don't do that anymore. We get, you know, the truck comes up, it's handed out, and nobody warehouses anymore. So I worked for a Levi's Entner company. We warehoused, I mean, you know, 6 months worth of apples and everything else. Now they go pick up a load and they deliver it as they, you know, it's they keep very little on hand, you know, whoever does it now.
Yeah, so the survival length for us is significantly
less. We don't have as much stuff available to use as we did then. But with the other thing is we have, you know, we have the creamery that hopefully would be able to run. We've got, you know.
Well, there still are some elements that are here depending on the time of the year.
Yeah, but. And.
It's not like it was before.
No. So, I mean, but I think we're probably going to be better situated emergency-wise. I mean, I think the first thing you're going to do is you're going to see cell phone towers be portable or whatever the case may be. you know, in high areas going, okay, this will be a cell area that will work if they lose cell service and stuff. So we're going to be able to have communications and stuff. Because, I mean, think about in 64 when the lines were down and everything else. I mean, that was actually pre-911. So, I mean, what did you do for emergency?
Those old fireboxes, man.
What do you do for emergency services? I mean,
you took care of it yourself.
You know, I mean, I know in Mendocino in this last outage, we have an outage last week, but in the last big outage, Mendocino lost all 911 services, and they took all their ambulances and fire trucks and moved them out to highway off ramps and all around, situated them all around. So if somebody had an emergency, there was an emergency vehicle well placed, and they could go to that emergency vehicle because there was no online connection. So
that's some of that stuff. It's almost refreshing thinking about it without technology. And what do you do to get the job done?
But that's what I said. They're all saying, what do you do? And I says, what did we do before? We went home when the streetlights came on.
Yeah, exactly. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We'll be back with more from Rex Bone.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48, final couple minutes this morning with Mr. Bone.
Well, I've got, you know, you were talking about the 1865 flood, and I'll bet you, well, I don't have very much money, but I'll bet you a little bit that nobody got on the phone and called FEMA then and told them to come help. I imagine we were pretty resourceful. And I think that's one of the
And we couldn't blame the logging industry either.
Yeah, but I think it's one of the great things that we're coming into this last 30 years, how we've evolved. You know, they say technologically, I think the next 30 years, they'll be able to say we've advanced more and more. But the thing is, sometimes we do get more dependent. I've never seen, you know, 70% of the calls we get when AT&T has a problem are people that can't get on their Facebook account. but I also know that, you know, I'd gone into the store and somebody was buying two cakes, and that the person at the bakery, I was getting coffee, and they said, our internet's down. She said, well, what do I do? I said, well, you have to go get cash. And I'm thinking, now, if that would have been 30 years ago, it wouldn't have been that. It would have been the corner store going, here, just sign this and come in tomorrow and pay for it. Everything was handshake or come in and pay for it tomorrow.
And still could be done today if people behind the counter, about it.
You know, yeah, I mean, it still could be if somebody could, yeah. You know. And then you get a customer for life. And I don't think that part is,
It's missed.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Always a pleasure.
We've been talking shop with Rex. See you tomorrow.